Hello and welcome to this message from Charter Oak Church. On this first Sunday of June, we start a brand new summer series called The Gospel And. This week, the focus is the gospel and grace and truth. We need to be grace people and truth people, not half grace and half truth. Grace people are pleasant to be around, but they never help us become who we should be. Truth people inspire us with their courage, but turn us off with their intimidation. Jesus was all grace and all truth. How can we be people of grace and truth?
Good morning, church. It's good to see all of you this morning, and just want to say congratulations to all of the seniors who graduated from high school this weekend. Congratulations. Way to go. You did it. You made it. Congratulations to the moms and dads that survived it. Way to go. Right? And so just so excited about that. And just for me, as when we hit June and graduation happens, and I just start thinking, oh, it's summer. It's finally here. And I know, like, officially it doesn't happen until, like, June 20th or whatever, but I'm like, I'm ready. I want to be outside as much as I possibly can. I want to be just enjoying the great weather outside. And I know a lot of us, we're going to be going on vacation. We're going to be heading out at the end of the month to go see Abby out in Utah and then spend some time in Gatlinburg with my family and my parents. And I get it. Like, we all should do this. I mean, we need it. Like, we've been through a rough year, right? But when you're in town and you're not sick, I want to invite you to be here, right? To be a part of what God is doing at Charter Oak Church. And I know the temptation, right? It's summer, and it's like, hey, we have an online campus now. Like, it'd be easier, convenient to worship in my pajamas, right? I have no reason to do this other than I'm just lazy. All right, I'll just say it, right? I'm like, okay, like, get dressed, please, and come to worship, right? And like, if you're sick, if you like, you're not ready to come back, then join us online. But otherwise, come on, be a part of what God's doing here. Join us. I mean, it's great to see all of you, to see your faces, to worship you, to hug you, to shake your hand. And so today we're starting a new series, and Josiah's going to help me with the message today. He's going to do the best parts, we're starting this new series called The Gospel and we want to talk about some tough issues this summer. We're going to some things that people have been asking me questions. Hey, what do I being inundated by this and that. Like, how do I respond to that from a Christian perspective? So next week we're going to look at cancel culture, right? The gospel and cancel culture. And that, like, people are like, oh man, like, that's pretty serious stuff. News media and social media and everything. What's going on? How do we respond in a gospel-centered way? And in order to set the stage for next week, and really for all of June and all of July, Josiah and I were going to talk about the gospel and grace and truth. And here's something we were thinking about. So we got this rope, right? And so what I find is, and I think, you know, Josiah and I have been talking about this, is that most people, kind of, there's this spectrum, right, of grace, which Josiah is going to be talking about grace today, and truth. And I'll be talking about truth today. And so I want you to think right now, just kind of in your everyday, ordinary life, where do you kind of find yourself on the spectrum, right? More on the grace side with good-looking Josiah, right? Or nice. The truth side, right? And so we want to just talk about what that looks like, what that means, and then we're going to look at what Jesus says about how he came full of grace and truth. And so we're going to jump into that today. I hope that you will follow along. Can I take in a little, I don't know if this is a risk or not, but doing it different. So, right? It's the summertime. We want you to engage. Like, hey, I want to go back. I want to see who is doing the message with Pastor Chris or Pastor Steve this summer and see be a part of that. So would you open us by reading John chapter 1? So if you have your Bibles, grab your Bibles. And we're going to look at John chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. You can get on your electronic devices, or you can follow along on the screen as well.
We realized beforehand that I have the wrong version of the Bible, so.
There's no wrong version of the Bible.
Well, it's marked. Mine's the right one. Oh, it is marked.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I had it marked in mine.
That's a pastor's little trick there.
Perfect. I'm learning so much already. John chapter 1, starting at verse 14 to 18, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
It's weird reading out of somebody else's Bible,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's nice. It's worn in. You know he reads it. Yeah. It's good.
Thanks. And so here's the thing. Like, so I asked you, like, so on this, you know, with this rope, like, where would you put yourself? Like, where do you kind of naturally flow? And I'd say that's honestly, I mean, it's a bad question. Right? Maybe it's okay to start there, but it's certainly not where we want to finish. Because we live in a culture today that tells us you have to be people that are or people, right? Mm-hmm. You're or this or you're that, right? And like you have to like take this stance and all you can be is that one thing. And we see something and we hear something very, very different about Jesus. And if he's our model, then how is it that we, as followers of Jesus, live into this higher standard that Jesus sought to live in, and grace, full of grace and full of truth? And so we don't want to be one or the other. We want to be 100% grace, 100% truth. And that's not easy. And that's why we're talking about it today, because we live in a culture that's really, it's fractured, and there's a lot of anxiety and fighting and everything. So how do we stand out different in the culture? So we're going to kind of just talk a little bit about the extreme of grace, the full, like if you're just wanting to kind of tend all the way over to the grace side and all the way over to the truth side. So Josiah, what's a person who leans way over there on the grace side?
Yeah.
What's
so
that look like?
I think that's really good to define. I'm a person who my natural bent or my natural disposition is I kind of lean that way. I tend to just sort of try to be graceful and gracious and grace filled to everyone. And grace people are, not to toot my own horn, but they're really nice to be around.
You are really nice to be around.
Thank you. So they're enjoyable to be around. They're pleasant. We like to make things comfortable, and grace people want to make everyone feel accepted, feel like they have a safe place wherever they are, just to kind of make it feel like home, or make it feel at least comfortable enough to talk and have community and all of those things. And the problem with grace people is sometimes we can lean, like you said earlier, we kind of live in an or culture, and so I find that people generally fall into either, it's not anymore just grace and truth. It seems like today it's this hyper grace or hyper truth, where if you're on the grace side, anything goes, you can do whatever you want, anything that you say, any lifestyle, any decision, any actions that you make, any words that you say, everything is fine. And the problem with grace people is that we tend to allow that to happen. And grace without truth isn't really grace. And so grace people, they accept us for who we are, but they never help us to be who we were meant to be. So that's kind of the extreme of grace. What about truth?
Yeah, so I definitely lean more towards the truth. And so if you're fun to be around, I guess I'm not. Right?
No.
That's why I need more grace in my life, right? Yeah, I'm just going to bring your grace over here.
No, I'm having fun.
That's right. Yeah, that's good. And so, you know, grace people, they're truth people. I mean, truth people are people who are like, they're like, okay, black and white, right? Here's the rules, right? And for that, they're easy to admire. Right, they have convictions and principles. They set standards. They live by those standards. They speak out against injustice. But here's the thing: without grace, though, right, telling the truth can be an excuse for belligerence. Hmm. Right, we're going to bring the hammer about on this because we need to stand up for truth. And all of a sudden, people start like not fun to be around for reality. Right, and so truth people without are loyal to a cause, but we wonder, are they loyal to us, right? And so it's like they want to make us better, like they want to challenge us to make us better, but they also in that oftentimes don't allow room for mistakes, right? They'll speak out, but they just sometimes want to be heard, just for the sake of being heard, and so they're quick to cast judgment on others. They can make some hard decisions, but oftentimes like they in making those decisions, they make it hard on other people. And there's the truth. They tend to have a difficult time forgiving people. That's tough to be around. And so truth people, they inspire us with their courage, but they turn us off with their intimidation. And so we need to be both grace and truth people, right? Not half grace, half truth, not exclusively grace, not exclusively truth, but all grace, all truth, all the time. So this is how Jesus described in John 1:14. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth, right? Full, right? Complete, right? And because he was full of grace and truth, it actually, it says that it brought glory to God, right? And so if our purpose in life is, as Christians, is to bring glory to God, that one of the greatest ways that we do that in our everyday ordinary life is being people who are full of grace and truth. Because what happens is that what I think it happens is when we find ourselves kind of on this line, is somewhere on the spectrum between grace and truth, we sometimes our identity gets rooted in that. And so we're like, oh, I'm a grace person, right? Or I'm a truth person or whatever, instead of saying, wait, no, like Jesus died for me, died for all of us, right? And so when you make a decision to put your faith, to put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it says you're born again, right? And so you get a new identity, and your identity is based on what God declares about you in Jesus. And so it's that your identity becomes as a son, as a daughter of our Heavenly Father. Not somebody who's on somewhere on the spectrum of grace and truth, but that in everything that you're doing and everything that you're saying and desiring and thinking, again, it's out of this identity of who you are in Jesus as an adopted son or daughter of our Heavenly Father. And so when we're walking through this conversation about grace and about truth, I want you to remember who you are in Jesus. And so, Josiah, can you kind of give us a little deeper dig into what is grace?
Yeah, I think defining grace and truth is going to be really helpful because, like you said, if we're trying to be both all the time, we need to have the standard for what both of them are. And so, for the perfect example of grace, we look to Jesus. Might sound like the Sunday school answer, but you look at his life and the way that he treated the people around him, the way that he healed people, just constantly pouring out grace and building relationship with people. And there's this great verse from Romans chapter 5, and it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so ultimately, the perfect picture of grace is Jesus' death on the cross. When he went, I think this is a phrase that at least I've heard in the past, is that Jesus was born to die. Mm. And so Jesus came as a baby. He was born and lived as a, you know, fully God, fully man, and he lived a perfect life and died a death to pay the price for our sins, for our transgressions, not only of the people in the day, but for us sitting here on the platform, for everyone out here. And so it's this beautiful picture of something that we didn't deserve. He died for the very people who put the nails through his hands, and he, in his last breath, said, "Forgive them." And that's just crazy. If you even take a second to think about the person that you like the least, and then think about someone saying, "Will you die for that person?" Heck no. You don't want to, but that's what Jesus did for us, and that's the perfect picture of grace. And so, grace is kind of for a definition. I'm losing my ear again. Grace is unmerited favor or unconditional love from God. So it's not based on our actions. It's not based on, some of you guys got in the van this morning to come to church and you shut the door and 2 minutes in, you're all yelling at each other. So it's certainly not based on our actions or how good we were or how bad we were or how much grace we need. We always need grace all the time, and Jesus' death on the cross is the perfect example and picture of that. So you want to go ahead and define truth?
Do you have a story of just how you experienced grace?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was thinking through that and just thinking about my life, and the biggest example is the one that I just shared with Jesus dying on the cross. for us. But I also believe that God is very personal, and he's a very intimate God in the sense that he knows you better than anyone else, and he knows me. And so being someone who kind of naturally leans towards grace, I have a very deeply rooted fear and a very deep sense that I need to be liked and wanted and loved and needed. I want people to like me all the time.
I like you, man.
Thanks.
I really appreciate that.
I could be getting a ticket for going 130 down 66, and I'd look up at the officer like, I feel like you're mad at me. It's deeply rooted in me. And a quick clarifier, it's not even circumstantial. In my life, I have two parents who are married who love me very much, who love my sisters, a huge family, we're all very close. I've always been blessed with great friends and community, coworkers. And so for me, it's not circumstantial. So for some of you, it might be. There are things that happen in our lives, and for some of you, you might resonate with what I just shared about this need to be wanted and this need to be loved, but it also doesn't necessarily have to be. And so the enemy knows where we're weak, and he's so good at what he does because he's such a good liar. And so that's just kind of an area where he focuses in my life. And I was really struggling with that. I lived down in Charleston for a couple years before I moved here, and there was just a day, and I was yelling at God, and I was just really frustrated. I was feeling very alone, and I had people in my life all around me who were trying to love on me, trying to pour into me, just trying to be a friend, be a mentor, whatever it was. And like there were these walls that were coming up, and it had never happened like that before. I had never really experienced some of these walls, and so I was just frustrated, and I felt far from God. Our relationship felt distant, and so I was just talking to him, and I was like, God, what is going on? Why can't I receive this love? And man, I'll never forget it, but he said, Josiah, you're afraid to let people love you, because if you let people love you just to love you, you're afraid that you're going to owe them something. And then he said, and you're afraid to let me love you, because you think that if you let me just love on you, that you're going to owe me something. And it was this beautifully profound moment in my life where I got to see God just pour out love on me. And while I think that it's appropriate to approach him with reverence and awe and respect, I think sometimes we forget as Christians that we're his kids, and that he knows that we will fall, he knows that we'll fail, that we'll struggle. And so I was just approaching him as his kid, as his son, and it was just this really, really powerful moment of, I love you because you're my kid. That's it.
Yeah.
And don't you dare think otherwise.
Right.
So so for me, that was a huge moment of just experiencing and seeing God's grace in my life.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very powerful. Yeah. And so with truth, you know, the way that I think, when I think about truth, I think about what Jesus said in John 14:6. And so he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus describes himself as the truth, right? I am the truth. Truth is a person. I mean, have you thought about this? I am the truth. Right? And so he's come to give us, to offer us the truth of himself, right? And I think that it's important for him to say that because he knows what's the battle that is being waged in our world and in our culture and in our hearts and our marriages and in our families with Satan, right? Satan is a liar.
Yeah.
And so Jesus wants to make sure that he sets up this absolute distinction between what he comes to bring and what Satan comes to bring. And so Jesus, as he's talking to the Pharisees, he says this in John chapter 8, verse 44. You belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so he's setting this very clear distinction between lies and truth, right? And so he's wanting to make sure that we all are going in with our eyes wide open to this battle that is happening in our world. And so for me, this is a distinction for today, in our culture today, because it just seems like people are doing their own thing. And there's no kind of objective truth for us to stand on in our culture today. It reminds me of how the Israelites were described in Judges chapter 21, verse 25. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. Well, that's today. Wow. And that's why it's so important for us to have a truth. And so the Holman Bible Dictionary, right? This is the definition. It says, truth is that which is reliable and can be trusted. And so Jesus says in John 17:17 that God's word is truth. Right? In other words, it's reliable and it can be trusted. So when you pick up the Bible and you read the Bible, you can know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this book, the words in this book are reliable, that they're true, that they can be trusted. Right? And think about this. I mean, Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven, because it's the reality of this battle that is being waged for our very lives in this world. And so he's saying, look, I'm the truth. I want you to come to me because I'm the truth. And for me, just the realization of that, my life, many of you know that, you know, I grew up in the church, right? But I never really took ownership of my faith, right? And so I always went to church, but I never actually read the Bible. I never really thought about basing my life on the Bible. And then I genuinely gave my life to Jesus, and I started taking ownership of my faith. I started reading the Bible. And Kelly and I got married. We moved to North Carolina and went back to school. And I'm like, I think I had this call into ministry. And so I go to seminary, you know, and I'm sitting in this class, and I'll never forget this moment. So the professor, he's teaching, right? And he's saying something, and he's quoting something from the Bible. And like the guys who are around me, like they finished the verse. I'm like, I want to do that. I want to know God's word so well that when someone starts a verse, I can finish it. And not because I was becoming a pastor, but because I'm a disciple of Jesus. Like I want my life to be based on something more than just however I feel that day. And so I found myself just hungering and thirsting. It's why I say it all the time, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Right? To give you a foundation for your life. And so how do we kind of bridge this, right? How do we live full of grace and full of truth, right? Because it seems like it's a whole lot easier to just kind of do one or the other, right? And so if you're a grace person, you seem to be more concerned with being loved, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if you're a truth person, you are more concerned with being right, even if it means you're unloved, right? And so like, there's got to be something else. Because if you're beloved by everybody, there's probably something wrong, right? And if you're hated by everybody, there's probably something wrong. We got to find a different option, right? And so, like, what does that mean? Like, what does it look like to hold that grace and truth in tension?
Yeah, well, I think we do balance them just in an unhealthy way most of the time, because it's really, really easy to receive grace. It's really nice. It's really nice when you screw up and you know you screwed up, and whoever you screwed up to is like, don't worry about it. So it's okay. We all want to receive grace, but it's also really easy to pour out truth. So if someone in your life screws up against you, it's really easy to want to lay in to that person and just, here's what you did wrong, here's why you did it wrong. And like you said, we live in such a polarizing world and culture and society, especially here in the U.S. And I think it's important for us to remember that as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, once we've experienced salvation, your citizenship is in heaven. It's not here. And so we are blessed to be Americans. We're blessed to have the freedoms that we have. But our standards, our moral compass, everything changes at the moment of salvation. And so I think a really good place to look for this is the woman in Scripture who was caught in adultery. And so she's found out committing this sin, and people bring her out. At the time, it was appropriate to kill her for what she had done, the sin that she had committed. And Jesus, in this beautiful moment of grace and truth, addresses her and addresses the crowd. And the famous, he who hasn't sinned, go ahead and throw the first stone. If you've never sinned in your life, sure, go ahead, kill her. And everyone had to walk away. And so I think bridging the gap looks a lot less common than we might think it does. And so once we've gone through salvation, once we've experienced that, we've been saved through faith in Jesus, but we've also been saved to look like Jesus and to model his character in the way that we live our lives. And so something that's really helpful for me personally, and something that as I kind of navigate, as I continue my walk with Jesus, something that I try to do is anytime that I get into an argument or a debate or a disagreement with someone, especially a fellow believer, is I try to always think about their perspective. And I try to just always, if you start looking at someone, and if you look at someone that you're about to argue with, and you say in your head over and over and over, this person was made in the image of God. Try to come at them like, I'm going to tell you what. It changes your perspective. And so as we deal with some of these polarizing issues, like you said, next week we're talking about cancel culture. This month, many of you guys know, for a lot of companies and people are celebrating Pride Month. And so as we look at the LGBTQ community, as we look at all of the race issues that are going on in this country, probably some of the hairs on the back of your necks are standing up as I say some of those terms. But as Christians, like, it's hard, but it's easy because the standard has been set. And the standard is Jesus, and Jesus is perfect. Right. And so, like, the beautiful thing about combining grace and truth, and the beautiful thing about Jesus' death on the cross, is that it eliminates every single one of our excuses to love people, to pour out grace, and to uphold the truth. And so it's a hard balance to walk, but it's made easy. There is nothing in your life, there is no one who has sinned against you who you have any right ever to say, well, I'm not going to forgive them because they did this, and it's just that, like, it's gone. You don't have that excuse anymore. Jesus is now the standard, right. And Jesus has set that. And so there's this beautiful verse, again, from Matthew chapter 11 that says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And that's just such a beautiful picture of what we can do to Jesus, what we can invite others into. And so rather than arguing, rather than just hammering people with the truth, or saying, whatever you want, anything is fine, rather than either of those, we can say, hey, there's a God who loves you, there's a God who sees you, and you can come to him without, you know, you can just come to him as you are and not feel like you have to be put together or have your best shirt on. Right. I don't know. Yeah. We get in this weird mindset sometimes, and so just to remember that we can just come to him.
Right. Yeah, it's such a great reminder, this verse, because, I mean, we need to be invited in with grace, but the reality is we also need to hear truth from Jesus. You know, in John 8, he said, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin, right? We need somebody to say, you know what? You're not okay.
Yeah.
Hey, there's sin inside of you. There's brokenness inside of you, right? And so when Jesus met this, you know, this whole situation with the woman that was caught in adultery and everything, right? He said, I don't condemn you. He's extended grace. But then he said, go and sin no more.
Yeah.
Right? It said both, right? And that's what we need to do. And like, so we need someone as gracious as Jesus to show us the way to navigate these waters, because it doesn't come naturally for any of us, I don't think.
Yeah.
And so we need somebody, you know, to say, hey, you know what? What you did, what you said, it's wrong, right? Mm. But I love you anyways. Like, you broke our relationship, but I forgive you. Like, those kind of conversations need to be happening in our everyday ordinary life. And so, like, we got this rope, right? And so we're talking about how, you know, there's this kind of tug of war that happens within us. Like, I'm truth pulling him over to truth, and he's pulling me over to grace. But there's got to be a way, right, that this comes together, right? And it's not going to be like all neat and tidy. It's actually going to be pretty messy, but it's the reality of the life that we're invited into as followers of Jesus. And so we just want to share a story each of just how, you know, we came face to face with grace and truth, and just what it meant to experience it in that moment, and how it helped us in our walk. So Josiah, you want to share yours first?
Absolutely. Buckle up, because it's a story about you. It was, so my story is, I hadn't been here too long. It was within the first year that I had been on staff here. I've been here 4 years now. So within the first year, I was kind of learning and navigating and trying to get more comfortable with being up here and speaking, because where I was leading worship in the past, my main and really only role was music. And so we would, you know, we would still do the worship sets and all of that, but there wasn't really much room for me to speak. And so I came here and it was like, hey, you're going to pray sometimes. And all of that was awesome, but just kind of learning how to get more comfortable with that. And one Sunday I prayed and I said something along the lines of, God, you don't expect perfection. And it was kind of this idea, very grace-filled. And so the following day, Monday or Tuesday or something like that, I was walking down the hall before a meeting, and Chris walks up to me and he says, take out your Bible. And I was like, oh no,
here comes the
what did I do? So I took out my Bible and he says, turn to Matthew. And so I open my Bible and turn to Matthew, and he said, turn to Matthew chapter 5. So flip into Matthew. Maybe. Flipping to Matthew, and he says, read the last verse. And this is Jesus speaking here in Matthew chapter 5. The last verse, verse 48, says, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so I read that, and he was like, do you remember what you prayed yesterday? And I kind of recanted as best I could, and the great thing about it was you knew that my heart was not to say, you know, when we experience salvation or when we come to Jesus, that there's no expectation that we change. You knew my heart, and my heart was more so Matthew 11, which is, come as you are, and I'll offer you rest and peace and restoration. But what I prayed and what I conveyed was a little bit different, and it was just that, it was that one degree off that we talk about here so often, kind of right, but if someone who had no idea who Jesus was, if they left, what would they think about Jesus? And would they think that, oh, well, if I'm saved, then I don't have to do anything else.
Right.
So that's the story for me of just this combination of grace and truth where, first of all, Chris and I have a good relationship. He pulled me aside one-on-one. He didn't bring me in front of the staff and say, does anyone remember what Josiah prayed yesterday and how much of an idiot he was or, you know, anything like that. Came to me one-on-one and asked me questions and didn't tell me what I did wrong. He had me read my Bible and open up, and it wasn't the Chris Whitehead standard. It was, you're a follower of Jesus, and this is important. So thank you for that, because ever since then, whenever I speak, whenever I pray, some of the things that are going through my mind are, A, what is this going to tell someone who doesn't know Jesus? What idea is this going to give them of who Jesus is? And two, just is what I'm saying, is it theologically sound? Is it scripturally accurate? Does it reflect the character and the nature of God?
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for sharing that. And for me, you know, because I definitely lean more towards the truth side, and I think as parents, sometimes we really wrestle with how to live with grace and truth with raising our kids, or as grandparents raising great, you know, grandkids or whatever. And so our kids were probably in elementary school, and Caleb had done something that he shouldn't have done, right? And like, I got really, really angry, and I'm like, go to your room and you can't play on your PlayStation for a year. So, you know, he goes off to his room, you know, and, you know, Kelly, wisely, she waited until I calmed down. And then she's like, a year? Really? A year. I'm like, yes, I know. And like, in that moment, you know, what are you gonna do, right? So I walked up to Caleb's room, and I sat down and, you know, got him up on my lap, and I'm like, look, what I said to you in your punishment was wrong. I mean, it was inappropriate, and I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? And here's the moment, right? And that oftentimes, because when we've done something where we know we shouldn't have done or whatever, we'll swing way over onto the grace side, right? Now there's no punishment because I was bad, right? No. And I'm like, look, what you did was wrong. You can't use your PlayStation for a day, right? And so you got holding on this, you know, kind of full of grace, full of truth, right? And just these moments where we have to realize we do have to apologize, and we do have to humble ourselves in such a way that helps, you know, other people to experience God's grace and truth. And we swing so fast back and forth, and, you know, as Pastor Steve told earlier, you know, we want to be deployed missionaries here, right? We want to be people who go, you know, to alleviate poverty wherever God might send us. right? But I think because we swing back and forth, we land one place or the other, I think we've lost our moral authority in today's culture. Right? We don't have anything to stand on. So when people are struggling and going through difficult times, they're not looking to us as Christians. They go looking to someplace else to just be an echo chamber for what they believe instead of rooting themselves in full of grace and full of truth. You know, Robert and Donna, they're leaving to go to this third world country to that's mostly non-Christians. They're leaving in a week to be deployed missionaries from our church. They're giving their lives to this. And as they go, they got to go full of grace and full of truth. But your mission field starts at your front door, at my front door. And we all need to live with full of grace and full of truth so that the watching world around us aren't repelled by us and repelled by the church and by Jesus, but they're attracted to him because it's transformational. No one talks like this. No one lives like this in our culture. So I want to invite all of you to think about what it looks like for you in the midst of your everyday, ordinary life to live full of grace and full of truth. It's not going to be easy. If it was easy, we'd all be doing it. And so we're in this together. And so we're going to pray. We're going to share communion together. Just in this realization of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you invite us to come to you just as we are. Messed up and broken, and that you don't leave us there. You speak the truth into us so that we can repent and we can come to you by faith and believing in who Jesus is and what he has done for us on the cross and the resurrection. And so we come around this table, God, and remembering Jesus' perfect life and his perfect death and his perfect resurrection for us. And Father, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here, upon this bread, upon this cup, that you would make them be for us the body and blood of Jesus, that we could be people full of grace and full of truth, just like Jesus. And so we ask, God, just humbly, would you transform us? Would you change us from the inside out? Father, we love you and we praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Charter Oak Church. You can listen to messages from previous sermon series on our website by going to the resources tab and clicking on sermons. You can also listen to previous messages on the Charter Oak Church app. Until next week, God bless and have a great week, everyone.